The following show was made at Access Radio Taranaki, thanks to New Zealand On Air.
Morena Taranaki. Tēnā koutou e te whānau. Good morning, everyone. My name is Daniel Woolley. I'm the Director of Greenbridge Design and Implementation. I'm here this morning with my good friend and colleague, Karma Burwell.
Hey, Dan.
Morning, Karma. The mountain's looking resplendent this morning. A beautiful day in Taranaki.
It is.
So we have been asked to come in this morning by the beautiful and singular Alessandra Knightley. And we're going to have a little chat to you about a little bit about what we do at Greenbridge and also about the Taranaki Sustainable Backyards Trail, why we're supporting that, and we'll be a little bit later hopefully joined by David Cripps to talk about his involvement.
Cool. I'm looking forward to having a catch up with David.
So for the next hour or so you've got us, and between playing a few great tunes we'll talk you through and tell you a little bit about what we do. So, Karma, do you have anything you want to hit the morning off with, seeing as you've come unprepared?
That's a good question, isn't it? I just feel really lucky to be doing what we do. Yeah, that's what I'm really present to this morning. I was out on site yesterday, putting the finishing touches on with a contractor for an edible landscape for a beautiful family that's coming to live in New Plymouth, and I was thinking, this is really cool. We get to do really cool stuff.
And it wasn't raining.
Yeah.
So just giving listeners a little bit of a heads up about what Greenbridge does and who we are. We are a design and build company, and we are based here in beautiful New Plymouth, and we've got three focuses, which is regenerative landscapes, healthy homes, and connected resilient communities. And I suppose the later theme about talking about the Taranaki Sustainable Trail, Backyards Trail, is what comes under that community banner. So what we're really about is sharing people's aspirations for sustainable outcomes and applying our knowledge and experience to provide creative solutions that match budget and inspire and delight. That's my new phrase that I've just written down this morning, so I hope you like that. So we do a range of projects, as I say, and some of our community projects at the moment are the New Plymouth District Council Resource Recovery Centre, which we're lucky enough to be working with.
And what's the new name for that one? The Community Reuse and Recycling Centre?
That's correct.
Otherwise known as the CRAC.
No, we don't say that out loud. and we've also, our colleague Bina Denton has just recently completed install of Ōmata Orchard at the Ōmata Primary School, and you can jump online to our Facebook page or website. Our website's in the process of being rebuilt at the moment. That's greenbridge.co.nz, but you can look up our Facebook page, Greenbridge NZ, and link through to our latest newsletter, which will tell you a bit more about what we've been doing in the community for the last few months.
Bina has been a very busy woman doing amazing work. I'm really blown away, actually.
So yeah, that's been keeping her out of trouble, so have a look and check that out. But moving over to the Sustainable Backyards, we're really excited and happy to be supporting that for a second year running. Great event that runs parallel with the two main things called?
The other big garden festivals.
Yeah, the Fringe Festival and the...
And the Taranaki... What's it called? Power Co
Garden Festival.
Garden Festival.
Spectacular.
Spectacular.
That's the one.
There we go. We've done our homework on that one.
So, yeah, the Sustainable Backyard Trail celebrates local backyard efforts and sustainability, ranging from individuals, families and communities that are generously opening up their backyards to inspire us with their creativity, that range from solar panels to bio-intensive veggie production. The trail has 29 sites this year, and it's really a range of examples of what everyday people can do to reduce their impact on the environment and get involved in their community. This year, the trail runs from the 27th of October through to the 5th of November. And a little bit later on, hopefully we'll be joined by one of the site hosts and owners, but we'll see how we go with that. But about now, I feel like jumping to a start of a music, which we've got Aretha Franklin's Respect.
I was having an interesting chat with Graham Mosen, who is a very amazing gentleman who was one of the founders of the Taranaki Environmental Education Trust 25 years ago. And those who know Graham know that he is a pretty outstanding human being. And he was saying to me, he'd heard about the Sustainable Backyards Trail, which is run by the Taranaki Environmental Education Trust, and he's no longer kind of directly involved with it. But it's his baby, right? And he was saying, oh, he's heard about this trail. And, you know, back in the day when he was dreaming up the trust, his vision was that there would be a network of environment centres, environmental education centres, all across Taranaki. And he said, it seems like it's happened now. Like, when he heard about the trail and all these amazing places you can go to look at people, what people are doing and learn about sustainability, he felt that his vision had been realised.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Over what sort of time span? That's a 20, 30 year time 20, span.
25 years.
25 years.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, and that's part of what Alessandra really hoped that we'd be able to talk about today. What about the work that we do inspires us, and how does it affect our lives and the people that we're lucky enough to work with? So I'll just talk a little bit about how Greenbridge came about. And how it's affected our lives as a family. So I come from a design background, been working in design for, 18 more years, and have always had a passion for sustainability, although that word that I could hardly say out loud is a bit of a damaged word. It's been overused and abused. And so we were working away in our daily lives, wanting to be more sustainable in our day-to-day work, but didn't know how to do it. And in the end, we decided to move to Taranaki, which is where my wife's from, and take the time to figure out how to do that. And that was after having met Karma back in, I don't know what year.
I don't know, 2009 maybe.
2009. and retrained around permaculture. And Karma said when she was actually teaching us, what did you say to us, Karma?
I said, you guys should set up a business and give me a job as a designer.
And we laughed out loud. And funnily enough, that's what came to pass a few years later. We bought a 10-acre block, which no one in their right mind should ever do, and proceeded to put some of our ideas to place on that land. And it was in the process of doing that and building and renovating a relocate house that I realised the core problem with sustainability isn't that the solutions aren't out there, it's that there's no one bridging and linking people to all those services and ideas. And that's what Green Bridge was about. It's about creating a link to all those ideas and making it easier and accessible and affordable. And really the ideas to sort of, and the businesses developed from there, and now we're in our sixth year.
Mm.
So, and in our own house, it's about living in connection to not only the land and understanding where your food's coming from, but also in your community. But as I say, we're lucky to, we wouldn't be able to do the work we do without all those amazing clients and people that we get to work with. And that inspires us daily to do all sorts of amazing work.
Mm. Yeah.
What have been some of your most exciting projects or things that have really stuck with you, Karma?
Most exciting projects. Gosh. It's quite a variety, eh? So I remember the project when we were working with Dwayne Luke's family whānau farm down in South Taranaki. That was a really exciting one. Mm. So Dwayne came to us with a whānau-owned farm, dairy farm, and he wanted it to be as sustainable as it could be and also to generate multiple livelihoods on the farm for his wider whānau, to create jobs and also a place for them to come home to and feel really connected to and learn about living sustainably. That was a really cool project.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
Very exciting to talk to people about ways of farming better and thinking about respecting Papatū Manuku and still being productive and, in fact, being more productive through... That was why we used that theme song of respect this morning, because that's, I think, that underpins the start place of where we operate from. And there's been a lot of others. The current project with the Community Reuse and Recycle Centre with NPDC, that's an extraordinarily exciting project in terms of what it can do for the region long term. And to give you a quick understanding of what that's about, on the Coulson Road transfer station that's being developed, the site beside that is being developed to be a reuse and recycle centre, whereby things that would normally have gone to the landfill in the past are being repurposed, recycled, upcycled,
repaired.
And it's about changing people's perspectives and thought processes around what waste is and changing it from one of waste to one of resource. Mm. And we've seen that. We were lucky enough to go on a road trip with two people from New Plymouth District Council and visit six sites around North Island. And that was an incredibly inspiring trip, not because any one of those sites was perfect, but each one showed an element of what could be if they were in understanding what could be if they were all brought together. And this is actually the first site in New Zealand that's been designed from the ground up. Every other site has evolved and developed out of an existing piece of infrastructure. And so there's always been a larger degree of compromise than we've had on this. There's still restrictions on the site that we've had to overcome, and that's been challenging. And there was already the materials recycle facility, which is the curbside recycling facility in place, so that's already on site and we're working with around that. But it's still, it's a great opportunity and an amazing, exciting project to be involved in.
It is, and it's got so many exciting elements, but one of the things that I love about it is that we're working with really mainstream, what I think of as mainstream organisations, so Opus, and Architects, Arden Peters, and the New Plymouth District Council, and
Enviro Waste,
and yet, you know, everyone who's involved with the project is so excited about being on the leading edge and thinking outside the square and doing totally new stuff that hasn't been done before. Like, everyone's really on board with the vision, and for me that's just, it's really heartwarming. You know, I used to feel like I was part of a really small group who thought like that, you know, but yeah. Now Whoops, sorry, that was a bit loud. But now it feels like it's big, you know, it's spreading and it's normal.
It's becoming the norm.
It's the norm.
And that's a lot. I often have these conversations. A lot about what we do isn't that unusual. In fact, it's just giving people what they actually really want and what up until now the market hasn't been offering. Because none of it's rocket science. It's about looking after your family's health. It's about lowering your on-running costs and preferably your on-running work and what you're doing in terms of a property, creating more resilience, and doing it in a way that brings joy and connection to both the environment and the rest of people, whether it be your family and the rest of the community. How about we go to our next song while we think about what to say next?
Shining through the rain, taking me high to blue sky. I can hear you calling, calling my name, and I can feel you. You're singing in my soul. I got you singing in my soul. Sunshine smile, I can hear you calling, calling my name, and I can feel you falling again into my arms. I got you singing in my soul. got you singing in my soul. I got you singing in my soul on fire.
So we're just going to try and chase down David Cripps. We realise he might not realise that we actually want him here right now. So we're going to try and give him a call and get him up here. He lives just down the hill, down in Motorara, I think. I was just thinking about my backyard at home. People often ask me, are you going to have it in the Sustainable Backyard Tour? And I always say, no, because... Well, why? Why do I say that? No. I guess because I'm a professional designer of sustainable landscapes and gardens. And so I think people coming to my place would have really, really high expectations. And the truth of the matter is that, you know, I'll go months without even lifting a finger in my garden frequently. And it often looks like a total disaster. And, you know, this winter has been no exception to that, months and months without lifting a finger. But amazing things happen in the spring. So just in the last couple of weeks, you know, the weather's warmed up and everything started flowering, and I've had so many people walk up the front path to our house and say, wow, your garden just looks so beautiful. And I started to think that perhaps I'd reached some kind of permaculture nirvana, where you truly do nothing in your garden and it reaches some kind of amazing synchronicity.
It's a good theory.
Because I haven't done a thing. But of course, these are the sorts of people who see chaotic mounds of intertwined flowering weeds and vegetables gone to seed, and they see beauty. That's nice.
That helps.
It's probably not everyone's cup of tea.
That's hilarious. So yeah, I've just realised that I've got a bounce back of my email to David, so he possibly doesn't even have all the info for this morning, so I'm going to give him a call in a few moments after our next little chat. So what else did I want to talk about this morning, or what do we want to talk about? One thing is visioning a positive future. So I had a conversation with someone quite some time ago, and they were talking about how few people actually take the time to talk about what does a positive future look like. And one way that we can see that this doesn't happen, if you look at movies in Hollywood, the future is always portrayed as a negative, problematic, that's going into destruction. And I just went and saw the new Blade Runner movie recently and really enjoyed it, but I still found myself reflecting, this is once again a vision of a future that's not desirable. And part of what I think all of us need to be doing is thinking about what is the future that we actually want. And so although it seems small, things like the Sustainable Backyards Trail, they start to point towards what that might look like. How could we live having beautiful gardens and food and a community that support one another, and just really creating a vision of what we'd like rather than what we'd rather avoid, because we seem to spend a lot of time generally focusing on what we're wanting to avoid. So, Karma, what for you is a desirable future? What does that look like?
Well, have you ever read that book by Starhawk?
You've told me about it.
The Fifth Sacred Thing. That's a really beautiful book. And it is kind of vaguely post-apocalyptic, but it's about a community in San Francisco, actually, where they created this island of beauty and abundance and awesome community, sort of despite what was happening in the wider context of the United States. And they're making a movie about it. And it's a really beautiful vision. And I sort of, every now and then, I check up on Facebook to see how it's going and when it's going to be released as a movie. And I always wonder, you know, sometimes you sort of need a fairly competent filmmaker and a big budget to turn these things into something that really work. It'll be curious to see how it turns out. And in this community, they have a basic universal income, which is interesting, and that's enough to survive on. But pretty much everyone works because everyone has a role in the community that's part of their calling, so that sort of naturally falls that way. Everyone collects their own water off their roof and has a big garden, and they have community water resources as well, and they have these community meetings where they decide things kind of on a sort of a consensus basis, and there's always four women who represent, I think it's the four winds, it's a long time since I've read this book, or it might be sort of four elements, and they always, I'm not sure that I agree with this actually, but they always have women, older women, as the four pillars of these meetings, and always facilitate.
We have celebrating in the background.
And they say, you know, they say in the book that it's because most of the acts of violence have been perpetrated by men, but I'm not sure that I totally buy into that.
Margaret Thatcher.
yeah, totally. But it's a really beautiful vision of a community, of people in community fulfilling their calling and how to contribute and express what they love to do and care for each other.
I find that point there that you say about the woman being on the council really interesting. And not that I generally think of myself as this, but effectively I'm a healer, but not in the traditional ways in the work that we do. And I've been to healing workshops and stuff like this in the past, and often been the only guy there. And I realised that actually it's really important for both men and for women to recognise that men have to step up and be a Father Earth as much as we have a Mother Earth. And it's the same thing with feminism. Feminism doesn't work when you've only got the women on board. You need the men and the women on board. And I would say the same thing around sustainability and creating a desirable future. It's something that if you've still got men out there with a mindset that's not in alignment with where the women want to go, it's not going to work. So it's going to take everyone, of every race and every background. And that's also all the different demographics, different people working at it in different ways. It's not a one-shoe-fits-all sort of scenario. So, yeah, I think that's a really interesting point you bring up.
The men that I know are incredible, you know, incredible men with so much love in their hearts and wisdom and lots of gentleness as well as strength and, you know, sometimes, but yeah, that whole thing's not really true for me in my life, in my experience.
Yeah. I'd like to go to our next song so that I can try and give David a call to see if we can get him here before we finish up for the day. So we'll go to our next song.
Any idea
which? Just pick one at random, Soren. Thank you.
busiest rhymes ever made by man are going into this mic written by this hand, are coming out of this mouth made by this tongue. I tell you now, my man, my name is Young, but so you think that this your destiny to get the best of me, but I suggest to be quiet, bro, don't even try it. From the east and west of me, taking it and never breaking it, or even shaking it, grooving it and always moving it, cause I'm not faking it, pulling out rhymes like books off the shelf, born in England, raised in Holland, thought I go for myself. This is stone cold rhyming, no frills, no fluffs, and it's no accident that these rhymes sound tough. I'm going off, baby, there's no turning back. I'm on your TV, on your album, cassette, and 8-track. And when the show is finally finished, I'll be taking my bow. My name is Young, and yo, I got no how. You know what I'm saying? I got no how. Party people, I got no how. I kick it just like this. I got juice like the president. I'm making rappers hesitant. Invite me to your house and I'll be chilling like a resident. Yes, cause I'm that type of man. Cause I make myself at home no matter where I am. I got it rolling like thunder. Making y'all wonder why I'm on top with all the other rappers under. I make no errors, mistakes, or blunders. It's like a wedding. Then no man put asunder. My name is Young and see, I like to rock right well. Cause when I get up on the mic, I just release my spell. It's no hocus pocus. I just get you into focus and swarm all over you just like a horde of locusts. Smooth operator, female persuader. Spot a fly girl and in a week I'm on a dater. I got the kind of style for the here and the now, and I can do it cause I got no how. You know what I'm saying? I got no how. Party people, I got no how. Bust it. Cause I know what I'm doing. I treat them like government gum and start chewing. I spit them out when the flavor's gone, and I repeat the chewing process till the break of dawn. Cause I'm tough like a bone, sly like Stallone, rocking and clocking on the microphone. Smooth like a mirror and hearts that strike terror. Rhymes like runs and hits with no errors. Cold like a blizzard on the mic. I am the wizard with the funky fresh rhymes coming out of my gizzard. It never sneezing, never coughing. I rock the mic often. Hard as a rock and no sign I soften. Making sure I get respect on my mind. Rhymes connect. I start to build like a builder from an architect. Moving all around above and under the ground. You see my face and then you hear my sound. Coming at ya with the mic in hand. I'm gonna take command just the way I plan. Cause I'm a one man band and you are my fan. Don't you understand? I'm like Superman. You're the man of steel. Don't you know the deal? You better be for real. I got sex appeal. This is what I feel. And this here's my vow. And now you know the brother with no how. You know what I'm saying? I got no how, and I'm chillin', never illin'. In my mouth I got two feelings, whatever. I'm on a mic, cold stone, getting over. My name is Young, I see known as the fly casting over. Kick it.
You can fade it out. So, Young MC, Know How, maybe a little bit of a surprise play for listeners this morning. So I used to listen to Young MC and much other stuff like that growing up, and it was our random play this morning, but that's got Know How, and I like to think that Karma and I and the rest of the team have been at Greenbridge. Have some know-how.
Know-how.
So it looks like we are going to have David join us shortly, so I've given him a phone call and said, sorry, but it looks like the email I sent you bounced back, so you didn't actually know where to come or when. So he's just down the road, so he's going to pop up, and hopefully we'll have a chat to him before we finish up. But what else do we talk about today? We could talk about a little bit more about the Sustainable Backyards Tour. Obviously, that's being run by the Taranaki Environmental Educational Trust, otherwise known as TEET.
I think they've changed their name, actually. They're now trading, like, the Taranaki Environmental Education Trust is still their name, but now they're called Sustainable Taranaki.
Ah, there we go.
It's like their everyday name.
I should have known that because I get all their emails and I give them money and things, so, but never mind.
I think they decided that TEET wasn't quite the image they were going for.
No. So they've got a huge number of sites. I'm just looking at their brochure, and you can jump online, and I'll give you that information again in a second when I can get it in front of me, which is... where are we? We've got sustainablebackyards.org.nz, and on Facebook, that's the Taranaki Sustainable Backyards Trail. So jump online and click in and have a look, and you'll see that we've got a bunch of urban sites, and we've got places in New Plymouth Rural, Waitara and North, and we have Stratford, Coastal, Inglewood, Hawera. So there's a big range of sites, and they're showing all sorts of different things, and the website is really good to get an overview of what each site can offer and when it's available for viewing, so jump online and have a good look at that.
I find it really interesting looking at the program, because there's all these, you know, all these families and people that I know, many of them have come up with these curious names for their houses or their gardens, and it doesn't have anyone's name on it, so it's kind of an interesting kind of puzzle to put together. Oh, who is that? Subtropicana. And then I think about it and I look at the address and I go, oh, I think it's Aiden. And then I look at Enthaven on Richmond Road. I go, who is that? Actually, I don't even know who that is. Comfortably Numb. Ah, now that's Jane Bright. And I think, I wonder why they chose that name. It sounds quite suggestive to me. And it's quite an interesting exercise for me just looking through the program.
As you'll see, I've had to go through and put some little of my own deciphering so that when I look at them, I know who they are.
The Eco Grand Delight. Now, I looked at that for quite some time the other day, trying to puzzle out who it was. And then I realised it was Trisha, who I designed her garden for her, which was quite lovely. And her daughter lives next door to me. It's really cool. There's lots of amazing people in this program who are doing really, really, really cool stuff. But also, what's also cool is that there are actually heaps of people that I don't know. And that is a sign of a healthy, sustainable community, I reckon.
Totally. And talking about jobs that you've done in the past, can you regale to listeners about either how some of the jobs you've worked on have sort of affected you, and or the people that you've worked with, the clients, how that's affected your life, the lives of those people?
Man, that's a big question. Gosh.
Well, while you're thinking about it, I'll throw a couple of ideas. So within the business, I generally focus on the big scale planning of larger jobs and the home design. So I focus on the design of the houses and built infrastructure. And so often one of the first things that I'm doing in talking to potential clients and clients is, how small can we really go?
So With a house.
Mm. Or any building, really. Mm. Rather than making the standard 225 square metre home for 2.2 people, how small can we go without actually reducing any quality of living? And that's a challenge that I keep beside myself right throughout the whole process. Can we get rid of another 2 or 4 or 10 square metres without detracting from the end result? Because that's one of the easiest ways within the built environment to reduce impact. And that has a real impact on how people live as well. There's less cleaning, which is, in my opinion, a very good thing. There's less running costs. There's less, obviously, cost out front. And it's actually the biggest way to reduce the cost of the project. So average sort of house build price, if you're paying a builder to do it, is somewhere between $2,000 and $3,000. You can spend sometimes a little bit less. You can spend as much more as you feel like you want to, but generally most builds are falling in the square metre rate of $2,000 to $3,000 per square metre. And so if you get rid of 10 square metres, you've just saved yourself $20,000 to $30,000. And it's often really easy to do that with good design without detracting at all from the space. And in fact, you can improve spaces by improving your flow and your efficiency of spaces, reduction of thoroughfares and things that don't really add much to the space. They're just in there because they haven't been thought through. So how about you? What do you find the things that you do really impact? Maybe talk a little bit about water.
Good idea. Dan does the buildings and the houses, and I do the landscapes, from farms to lifestyle blocks down to gardens. And I, right at the forefront of all the work that I do is healing the landscape. And a big part of healing the landscape is around water. So for me, I'm always trying to get as much rain or dew or amazing tree condensated dripping back into the landscape so that we can recharge our local aquifers, bring springs back to life, give streams like a more consistent base flow, just, you know, regardless of how much it's raining, and just make everything more moist and more wet because it's more resilient. You know, the more water you've got in the ground, the less likely you are to experience drought. But really importantly, the wetter the ground is, and this is a real culturally challenging concept for people in New Zealand, the wetter the ground is, the more productive it is. So the more food you can grow. And that's something that people in other cultures know very well. So you think about like the rice paddies of Asia, and aquaculture, the aquaculture ponds of Asia, and actually heaps more places than just Asia. But that's kind of the classic non-part, and that's the part that I'm familiar with myself. And so trying to bring some of that wisdom around what a truly sustainable landscape is to New Zealand has been quite a big part of my journey. And it's, yeah, so healing landscapes and healing watersheds, bringing springs back to life, because there are, must be hundreds of thousands of springs that are dead, that are no longer flowing all over Taranaki. And yeah.
And I think just for listeners, understanding that water is the deliverer of nutrient, it's the basis of how everything grows. So if you're not looking after your water, you're not looking after your environment.
And to look after your water, you've got to look after your land.
That's right. And we've just been joined by David Cripps. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Cripps.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, David.
Hi, how are you?
What do you reckon about this weather outside?
Stunning. Typical Taranaki day.
Typical.
Stunning. So typical.
Just getting sick of all the sun.
I'm bored, yeah.
Yes. No, great that you can join us. Sorry that you didn't get my email last night, so that's bounced back. I'll have to have a look into that technical issue after the show. But I met David back in January 2015 when Karma, my business colleague, and my wife, Bina, did a basic garden design with David for his property here in Motoroa,
yes,
just down the road, which is why he could be here so quickly, which was very useful. So good morning, David. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about, first of all, maybe your experience with that service that you had with Bina and Greenbridge, and then maybe flowing on to why you've decided to be involved in the Taranaki Sustainable Backyards Trail, and a little bit about that.
Yeah. Can I just start one step slightly further back and to say, if somebody had told me 5 or 6 years ago we'd be having this conversation, I would have laughed in your face. To me, if it was green, it meant that you concreted it and you painted it. Roundup was my friend. And vegetables were things that you brought. You didn't grow them. That was just crazy talk. So I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I started thinking that, are there other options? And then my wife and I, we purchased a property here in the beautiful Taranaki, here in Motorai, and we decided we wanted to do something different. So we looked around for a property that had the opportunity to grow gardens and an orchard. The trouble was, we had absolutely zero knowledge and ability about how to do this. So we got this little bit of land, a third of an acre, right in the middle of town, which was stunning. And if there are any Aucklanders listening to this, you need to leave Auckland traffic and come down here. It is stunning. So we purchased this third of an acre, and then it was a case of, okay, we've got this little bit of land. What the heck do we do with it? And we had no idea whatsoever. So we asked around, and people said, why don't you give Greenbridge a call? They'll come out, they can do a design, and then you can know. Now, we've learnt since then that people suggest that you spend at least a year on your property, getting to know where the sun is, the wind. I didn't want to wait a year. That's just crazy talk. So we gave you a call, and you came out, and you put together a plan for us. And from that, we were able to essentially know what we wanted to plant and where. So we've had some things die, and we've changed some things around. But that essentially gained us a whole year, or maybe longer.
And that was, from memory, that was a basic service. That was,
yes, yeah.
So from memory, that was around $1,500.
Yes,
which isn't cheap, but it's what it is it's designed as a service that we saw that gave real value to someone in the least possible cost within the least possible time.
That's it there.
Yeah,
yeah. Looking at it,
and it's a fantastic plan because we got to know the land that we were on. Where we should plant things, shelter belts, crops that could probably work where we were. I mean, it's incredible. So when you actually, so we're on the Sustainable Backyard Tour this year, and if somebody, and we'd like to show them the plans that we've got and how we've actually put it together, and it's pretty close to that plan.
Awesome.
I mean, we've changed some things, but it looks stunning. We've got 30 different fruit trees on our property, 7 raised gardens, maybe 40 berry bushes, chickens. I was this morning just mucking around with the platform to get our first beehive put in. I mean, this is amazing. From a guy born and bred in Auckland to being down here and almost being self-sustaining. I mean, we can't grow bananas that well, you know, but, you know, we're getting there.
And your property is number 4 on the list, which is Sustainable Motoroa. 29 Laurie Street, and it shows me here that you, on the 28th of October, are available between 10 and 2 p.m, on the 29th between 1 and 3, the 30th between 4:30 and 5:30, 4th of November between 12 and 2, and the 5th of November between 10 and 4. So you're going to be doing some talks on the design process for your property, what can people expect to get out of visiting your property?
Well, hopefully they'll come by and see a property that we can show you a couple of photos of what it was like 3 years ago, look at it and go, that can happen in 3 years. If you can do that and you've had very little skill and ability and you can get to that point, well, I can do that. And that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping people get inspired and go, actually, I've got a little bit of land, a little bit of garden area, what can I do?
And I think it's great how you describe the leveraging of your time, because that's realistically what a lot of people are doing with us. Coming to us without necessarily the local knowledge. Some people have actually had more botanical and other knowledge, like we've had clients from Australia that had extensive botanical knowledge, but not for the local environment. So they were really paying us, and they were paying us actually at the high end, so we've got a whole range of services. So your service, just for listeners, was about doing a site assessment and then hand-drawing on a map of that site, and communicating where the sun was coming from, where the winds are, what are the main aspects of the site and how it's going to affect growing and developing that site. And then a hand-drawing concept that's developed up over the next couple of days with feedback from you and a bunch of notes around what that could look like based on your brief.
But it was amazing because I was able to, from that, to go out and say, right, we would like 5 apple trees. I want them on this rootstock. These are the ones that will pollinate each other. Brilliant. Yeah. I mean, for me, it was all that we needed. And then we did the, my wife and I did the WIT course, organic horticulture course, and that just added a whole other layer of knowledge underneath that.
Yeah, that's a fantastic course. Yeah. That's with Dee Turner, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Amazing lady. We've planted things and they've died. We've planted other things and they've grown. And you're just kind of like, well, that's okay. That's all right. So it's fantastic. I really hope that people come and we can show them what we're doing. It's a really exciting adventure.
Yeah.
It is exciting, eh?
Yeah.
Like, it is really fun. And I'm kind of curious to hear about sort of how your daily life is perhaps a little bit different to how it used to be, you know, living in this new context.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll give you an example. This morning I got up, we went out and picked some spinach and some pepinos to go in our smoothie. Our fruit, we hope we might get some fruit this year because it just takes time. Hence, the service was so good because it gained us that rather than waiting. So they suggest that it takes up to 4 years before you should start letting your fruit trees actually produce fruit. So you want to give them all the energy that they can to grow and nurture. So so this morning, we were harvesting vegetables and fruit, you know, the pepino from our garden and eating it, which is incredible.
Pepinos are really magical, eh?
Oh,
I bet lots of people listening don't even know what one is. Do you want to?
Yeah, well, I had no idea until recently myself. So it looks a little bit like an apple in size, a big apple. It's kind of an orangish color with purple lines on it, and it tastes like a sweet cucumber or not quite a melon. And it's an orange flesh, and it's absolutely amazing. And it's a ground cover, and we love that as a ground cover.
And it looks like a potato plant.
Okay. Yeah, it does.
So it's in the same family as potato.
Ah, yeah. Solanaceae family. See, I'm learning this.
Yeah, that's good. Nice.
So it's a lot of fun, and it's great. So that, and then the evenings, at the moment we've got spinach, kale, silver beet, garlic is growing, we've got beetroot on the go, we've got corn on the go, we've got peppers on the go. Our garden is just absolutely bursting at the seams. I've got 30 bean bushes growing, peas growing. I mean, it looks amazing.
Awesome. Yeah. Now, I'd just like us to maybe jump to our next song, which I'm going to go for. Let me see. Totally Together, while we just chat about what we're going to go through next.
All right, is that all right? You happy with that? Is this air prime? Is it click time? 50 Peter in the middle, yes, I get a wine. If it is a red eye, then your best walk with shade. If it is a high top, since it's overcome today, see, we don't do the hip hop because we ain't hip hoppers. No, no, deal enough for jazz. Can't be jazz bops, but the funk is the chunk. Cover the music that we're making. I dig a little deeper and the route is never taken. Destination hazy, ain't cause we're lazy, just boldly going there. Bass is getting bassy, so come and stand firm. If the rhythm rides your glee, feel us on my toes as I have the happy feet. Then I boom.
Boom!
Then I rang. Now watch you come back, oh watch you come back, oh watch you come back. It's a boomer boomerang, ram slam, babbity boop boy. Never claim a hardcore, but here's a little more that I know you can't ignore. See, when I brush my teeth, I just use a paste.
Yeah.
No, it's not a chili, cause you're not a lot of taste.
Yeah.
When I sport and brief, I never wear a lace.
What?
And when I'm coming, but it's never in the haste. Oh, chickity chickity chick, chick, a chicky champ champ. Can I get a bam if you trust Uncle Sam?
Bam.
It was a bam, how you know you can? You're betting on a winner and you got the almost wrong. See, pew, pew, Barney McGrew, a cupboard dibble,
grub.
You live long and prosper, just like Spock. Now, who's it at the door? I'm sure I heard a...
Vulcan.
Rhyming undercover like the Burberry lining. No creases in the living, cause you know I can't be finding a little lump of hills. Getting in my way, a special agent needs a room for hip to sway. Sideburns getting longer, the funk is getting stronger. G-force starting first, rhyming with the conga, partaking in the styles. Connected by the vibe, just trying to make the rhythm breathe to keep the vibe alive. Needing another slam, reaching for tequila. May I introduce my mother? Her name is Sheila. So what's it taking, lad? You got no hit, you're on your own. Being on the label means you get to use the phone. Crashing more than Wall Street, the drums that rock the house. Chase a funky snare like a cattle chase the
Jerry.
No,
Jerry, man, Tom and Jerry.
Come on, get a ball card.
Tom's the cat, Jerry's the mouse, you know.
And the ball card, boom.
Sound. Well, problems what you got if there ain't a definite crew. Who you selling to? Everyone coming up now.
Well, we were just talking with David about what it took to actually get his garden to this point, because it's been 3 years, as he said. But it's worthwhile pointing out that good design really helps set up good systems in terms of reducing workload for long term, and in terms of getting things there quickly. But it doesn't avoid the necessity of someone putting in the work up front, and whether that's someone that you pay for, and for some clients we will put that front work in and do all the work for you, but someone has to put that work in. And for you, David, do you want to just talk to people a little bit about that?
Well, I mean, part of the journey and the excitement of the journey, I think, is getting in with a spade and digging holes and banging in waratahs and supporting the trees. It does take time. We're at the stage now where the trees are all in, they've all been supported and tied back. I've had a go initially at pruning. It was an abysmal failure. I actually got somebody in this year to do it for us, but that's okay, you learn these things. it does take a little while to get it established, but once it is established and you've worked out where your water is and you've worked out your composting system and making sure that the soil is full of microorganisms and it is lush and full of nutrients, it just takes a while. But now that we're at that stage, it's around maintenance for us. But, you know, little things like we built an espalier fence. Well, that took a while to get that and then to make it and then to put the trees in. I remember as the trees were growing about a year and a half in, and we hadn't pruned them effectively when we first got them. So the first buds as they came out, so an espalier fence, imagine a wire fence where the tree grows up and along the wires. So Dee came over one day, she said, "No, not good enough." Snip, 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 snip. And took them all down to about, I don't know what, 150 mils off the ground. But now they're looking good. But sometimes you've got to go backwards to kind of go forwards. But having a good plan is the key. And once your tree is in, you don't want to move it. So even the spacing. So, for example, on the plan that Greenbridge did for us, talked about how far apart the trees should be from each other. Talked about how high we wanted them to grow. Because, you know, I've got friends that have got fruit trees. They look stunning and beautiful, but they can't get at the fruit because the trees are so big. So it's around making sure that you get what you want and the land that you've got. So we're at the bottom of our orchard area is in a flooded area, a flood zone. So we had some flooding this year, which I know you wouldn't believe it looking at the weather that we've got out the window right now, but everything survived. There were no issues, no problems. So yeah, it takes a little bit of time, but establishing and getting it going, it's really worthwhile doing it right the first time.
That's cool. And so what have you got growing down the bottom there in the flood area?
Yeah, so we've got, which is surprising, we've got some berry bushes that have all survived. So we've got a Worcester berry, which, by the way, you don't make Worcestershire sauce from. They had somebody that asked me about that. We've got some blueberries. We've got two olive trees. We've got two pears, two plums, a plum cot, three apples. So that's in the flood area. We've got three Italian elders, which are along the fence line, which they are notched and fixes and give us a bit of protection from the wind. And then just back from that, we've got four dwarf avocados. We've got more boysenberries, raspberries, blueberries. That's in that area. And it looks amazing.
It sounds delicious.
Yeah. Looking forward to getting some fruit, hopefully this year.
And so have you been removing buds each year up
yes.
and now?
Yeah, which is soul-destroying. Soul-destroying. It's like, look, we could get an apple here, but no, we're going to pluck that off.
Well, we've got a new orchard at our place as well, and we've got trees covered in buds. And so I completely relate to that. When you go and take the buds off, knowing that you could have let that bear fruit, but you're looking after the tree for those first couple of years.
You guys are so good. I can never bring myself to do it. I'm just selfish and short-sighted. So I leave the flowers on and let them fruit.
So we've just got one more minute, is that right? So in closing, is there anything either of you want to sort of share with our listeners?
From my perspective, just do it. Come and see what other people are doing. If you haven't got much space, have vertical gardens. There's nothing more exciting than growing your own stuff or making your own wine. I've got 14 bottles of wine that I've made out of rhubarb. Look, go for it.
Awesome. Hey, thank you very much for coming today, David. Thank you to the team here at Access Radio for having us and inviting us. And just if listeners want to check out again, you can check out the Greenbridge website, greenbridge.co.nz. Or on Facebook, Greenbridge NZ, and the Sustainable Backyards website, sustainablebackyards.org.nz, or on Facebook, Taranaki Sustainable Backyards Trail.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki, thanks to New Zealand On Air.